Turn again, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, passage we read together there. I want you to think in particular this morning, we're thinking about the mission. You look at verse 37, it says, "Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again." Let's just have a wee word of prayer now as we turn to the Word. Father in heaven, we thank Thee again today for the opportunity of coming to Thee and calling upon Thee. Thank Thee, Lord, for the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. And Father, we pray now as we look together at this particular time in the work and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ here in His earthly pilgrimage. Father, we pray that even as we consider, Lord, the situation before us, Lord, that our hearts might be stirred to pray more and more that the Lord would move in the hearts of others in our own day. And Lord, may men and women here today, without the Lord, be prompted to flee to Christ for refuge. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Some parts of the world today, we could say in China, in parts of South Korea, and other parts of the globe, there are people who are gladly embracing the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them, when they hear the gospel for the very first time, they are coming to the Savior, and they are responding by sending letters and messages to radio stations and to various Christian bodies and telling of how they have sought the Lord. There are calls for literature that would be helpful for them to grow in grace. There are calls for literature to give out to others. There are calls for preachers and for teachers. And there are that people who are being called out for the Lord's great name, are people who are wishing to follow after the Lord. Homes are being changed. Communities that were before this time without Christ are being in some degree transformed, in some cases from awful pagan darkness into a God-fearing area. Now, in the Bible, as you read through the Scriptures, you see that in certain places, whenever the gospel was preached, for instance, by Paul or by Peter or by some other servant of the Lord, almost to a man, the word was well received and it was acted upon by those who listened in a positive way. And there were those who came and they were dealt with by the Lord and they were saved. But this was not always the case. There were those instances when particulars were spoken to, but those who recognized that something had been done did not really want to listen. They did not want to know, and they had absolutely no interest in that which had been performed in the life of another individual. Now, for a long number of months, we've been looking forward to the mission in Megabre. We had been trusting that the Lord would bring many under the sound of the word, and that the Lord would come and speak to hearts as they listened to the word. And we were always very conscious that the mission would come and the mission would go. And our thought, a thought that was prominent in our minds was this: what would the reaction of the people be? Would the people of Megabre, would they embrace Christ? Would they be glad to know that there's a time of gospel visitation in the village? Or would they be like some who would be glad to see the end of it? And when Jesus is passing that way, would the reaction be that as far as he is concerned, they are like the people here of the Gadarenes, and they would beseech him to depart out of their coast? In other words, they would not embrace him and they would have no time for his gospel. And it seems today that many people that you speak to, they do want the assurance that everything is well as far as their soul is concerned. Even some will speak in very religious terms. But when it comes to actual repentance and deliverance from sins, then men and women are reluctant to go any further. They want to feel accepted by God, but they do not want to listen personally to a message that calls upon them to turn from their sin. And I am very conscious today that many of you will be hoping to go over to the mission, and we do not want to keep you very long this morning, but I want to look at this incident before us here and bring to your attention three things. I want you to notice concerning the area here, first of all, that the area here where the Lord went to, the country of the Gadarenes, it was a troubled place. Now, things were not right in this country, this part of the world. And very often when you read this passage, you can come away with the impression, well, the man who was the main problem was dealt with. Well, there was a man who had a difficulty. But this was a community that was uneasy. A community that was uneasy. And far more so than might appear on the surface. If you look first at the obvious factor here in the situation, you'll see that there was a hopelessness here among the people. If you look there in verse 27, it says, "And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs." In Mark's Gospel you read words that are similar to this. He says, "Neither could any man tame him, but always night and day he was in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones." In Matthew's Gospel we read, "No man might pass by that way." Here's a man whose whole life was completely dominated and enslaved to and by sin. We have to go a wee bit further than that, and we have to say that evident wickedness was to be seen in this particular individual. And that enslavement and helplessness constituted a threat to the entire community. Not only was this man one who would harm himself, but they had sought to bind him. He was a man who was a danger to others, but when we look at this area as a troubled place, yes, we see the man here. A life that was dominated by a force that was evil. He was full of sin. We also see that men seemed powerless to do anything at all to curb the danger and the situation here. Something that was to be seen is that, yes, they could not bind him with chains. So we had the man who was in a situation of hopelessness. But we had an entire community that was in a situation of hopelessness. And folks, in these days, when you go to any village, not just McGabbery, it is sometimes with very great blatancy and sometimes with frightening regularity that there is talk of some individual that is very deep in sin. They are bringing havoc not only to their own lives but to their home. And people feel uneasy with them in their community and perhaps even living in very close proximity to them. There is a hopelessness there. There is an anxiety that overshadows the everyday life of men, and sometimes it's alarming. And folks, as you and I continue to try and serve the Lord, we often have the thought, what is going to happen with the upcoming generation? Now, we're speaking here of young people, and how thankful we are to the Lord that during this past week many, many have come under the sound of the word. For those of you who have not been able to get along to the tent mission, I think the attendance peaked at about 150 on one occasion. So many homes have been touched. And how glad we are to see them under the sound of the word, those children. But as I was speaking to a young woman the other night after the meeting, I was saying, you know, some of those wee boys and girls, they're in with t-shirts on them that have the name of pop groups on them and so on. The wee boys are there with their earrings and all of their stuff, and they're singing their hearts out. And she said, the poor wee pets, she said, dear knows what they're going home to. Dear knows what they're going home to. And folks, while you drive through McGabbery, for instance, today, you see many new houses. You see people who seem to have a considerable amount of this world's goods, some of them, and everything seems to be well. Who knows? Who among us knows what is going on in some of the homes there? Who among us knows what is in the lives of some of these little boys and girls? Who among us knows about the awful hopelessness in some of the homes, perhaps even in the homes of some of the parents that have come along or sent their boys and girls along? And very often, As Christians, we are burdened to pray that the Lord would come and intervene in a special way. The evidence is there that everything is not well. There is a hopelessness that man can do nothing about. A hopelessness that man can do nothing about. It is a case that is urgent. Now, Christ was concerned about this man, and he was also concerned about the community here. You read that in the verses earlier on this morning. And what concern you and I ought to have. If we consider here the willfulness of man in his sin, we consider the reign of sin in the life of so many. It's just very like this place called Decapolis, where this man was, where he came from, where a region, yes, that had religion of a sort, we know that. But church history, Josephus, the church historian, tells us that those involved in the incident with the herd of pigs, that they were Jews. And Jews generally were a religious type of people, and one of the things they didn't involve themselves with was pigs. Pigs were looked upon by them as unclean, and they were involved here with the pigs, so they were even living in disobedience to their own religion. So you had a mixture of religious people who were living in even in disobedience to what they did believe. And you had those, like this dear man, who had absolutely no thought of religion. You had really what was, if we could put a title upon it, a pagan environment. An area that was hard and indifferent, where everyone did exactly as they liked. A moral and a spiritual wilderness. A place of great disorder. A place of awful hopelessness. A place where those who were sinners themselves noticed one who was more notorious than them, and even they could do nothing with him. They couldn't bind him with chains because he broke them. And am I right this morning in saying that we're living in an age when there are districts and they're not unlike this particular area? Many sinners, some of them religious sinners. There are people who stand out as notorious. And yet even those who seek to bring some kind of normality, should we say, to the area, they're hopeless to do anything real and lasting about the situation, because man can do nothing to change the heart of man. It can do nothing to change the heart of man. Sinners, absolutely, in a situation of being unable to do anything to change himself. The question is this morning concerning us as Christians. Is there that willingness to pray on and to hold on to God that the Lord would come and that the Lord would move in great power? We're very thankful, as we said earlier, that during these past days the Lord has moved and some have professed salvation. But there's so many others. There's so many others and they need to come. And I think we can all see the picture here. You have in McGabry an area where there are very many people who are lost. Everybody in McGabry knows now that the tent is there. A good number, a large number of homes have been touched through the children's mission. Very many homes have been touched. But men and women are still depraved in their sins. The mission is half over now. And yet we have men and women who are just like the community here when this outstandingly wicked man was, and they are still in a state of lostness. Still in a state of great danger. And there is, and you may not notice this if you go down through the village during the day, but if you're there late at night and you take a walk down through the village, you see the young people hanging about, you see the older people making sure that their doors are locked, there's an uneasiness there. And it's an uneasiness that, like so many other places, I believe that it is increasing. And it is a situation like the one here with this man, it will almost inevitably get worse. Because what we have in McGabry is just a picture of Northern Ireland and of the nation. It is a troubled place. A place of evident hopelessness.
A place of great uneasiness. But we have another thought here. And that's this. You and I have been praying for the mission for months now. We've been working towards it. We're there now trying to preach the word and hoping that the Lord would move. And when you look at the picture here with this man, the Lord Jesus Christ made all the difference. He made all the difference as far as that one man was concerned. The Lord came along to the scene. And it's plain to see that he changed for this dear man. He changed the whole picture. He brought, as it were, a whole new element into the situation. They'd never heard of this kind of deliverance before. They looked to chains to try to tame this man. There are two things that we want you to see here when we're saying that Christ made all the difference. Christ could do what no other person could do. The enslavement of this man who had caused so much torment, so much harm to self, so much heartache to the area. The enslavement of this man was broken. It was broken. And that breaking of enslavement of sin, it was a real work. How we are reminded of what the Bible tells us. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And here's a man who was as dark can be. And yet when the Lord intervened in his situation, he is a man who was a new creature in Christ. Now the people, they laid eyes on that man. They recognized, well, here is something. Here is something that is new to us. We've tried all his days to make him as good a sinner as us. We've tried all our days to change him, and we've been able to do nothing with him. Look what it says in verse 35. And they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They were afraid. Please don't miss those words. Why were they afraid? Because they knew that a transformation had taken place. They knew that a great power had been at work. They knew that there was something different. The man was sitting out clothed and in his right mind. And the ability of Christ to deal with the hopeless, helpless situation of that man, well, it was indisputable. There's no one there that rejected that the work had been done. But they were afraid. They were afraid because they knew that there was a power abroad that was beyond them and the people of that area. They found among them a power far greater than any human power. And so it is in McGarbury. People have all kinds of things going on up in the community hall there, and some of them are good to help the children and so on. But Christ is the answer. And the answer not only to the children, but he's the answer to every home. And you would think here with this situation and to this man coming and the Lord delivering him, that there would be great rejoicing among the people. That they would think, well, here is something that we want to stay. Here's something that I could be doing with. But look what it says there in verse 35 and 36. It says, we've already read verse 35, read verse 36. They also which saw it told it to them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. They actually, when you look into verse 37, it says, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Not only were these people afraid, these people were disturbed. They were disturbed. Surely when we look at the situation, you think, well, that was unthinkable. The evidence was there before their eyes that Christ was all-powerful. And this kind of interruption had led many not to consider Christ, but to consider if he keeps on working like this, it's going to affect us. It's going to affect us. You see, he had sent the pigs down the slope into the sea. Their living was gone. And as we think of Christ making a difference here, we do rejoice with those people in Magabra, those children especially that have come to the Lord so far. But I wonder as those children go home, and some of them undoubtedly will say to their parents, I've got saved tonight. I'm a Christian now. I wonder, will their response be, that's something I need, son or daughter? Will the response be, oh, here's something that I need, something that I never found anywhere else, what Christ has done for my wee boy or wee girl he can do for me? Or will they be like these people? And they will be afraid, and they will wish for Christ to depart out of their coast. They will have absolutely no time themselves to come and to listen to the gospel. You see, automatically, they linked the deliverance of this man with the loss of the pigs. So there was a weighing up of the situation. And panic was entering in now as they realized that, yes, Christ has moved, and this is going to bring us to a point where we have to do something with him. You have to either receive him or reject him. So it is in Magabra. Parents, children coming home saying, Mummy, I got saved. I want to read my Bible now. That can have the effect of either softening the heart of an individual and winning them to Christ even, or of real hardness. Perhaps even preventing the child from coming back to any more meetings. You see, sin is intolerable. But sin does not tolerate. And sin reigning in the hearts of men and women can have the effect of driving men and women to say, I wish Christ would depart out of our coast. I wish that tent was away. Children are looking to go the night again, and I wish they wouldn't go back because they've made them religious now. Well, folks, our message has to be plain and pointed, that except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. This is, I believe, a golden opportunity for the village. It's not to say that no home has been touched, because many, many homes have been touched through the work of Colin and Chris in particular, and the bringing in of all of those children. And so many homes have been touched. And I wonder today, as we consider that situation, will we give ourselves even more wholeheartedly to pray that the Lord would work on, that he would deal with prejudices, that he would deal with sin that reigns in the hearts of parents, and that he will speak in such a way through his word and through the children that many will be won to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Christ's authority here really wasn't accepted. It wasn't accepted. They didn't want the trouble that they had with this man, but they didn't want religion. They didn't want religion. And up in Magabra, like in many other villages, there are people who do not want antisocial behaviour. They do not want the drunkard hanging around their house at night outside. They do not want the person with the drugs coming and loitering around the village. But they don't want Christianity. They don't want the Lord. Because deep down in their own hearts, sin reigns and they love their sin. And at this moment in time, there are those who, I am sure, have determined in their heart that they will never be in the tent. They will not come and listen to the word. And there may be yet others who will feel that, well, religion is for, it's for children and weak people. And this Christianity is not for them. You see, the devil, just as we went with a mission of gospel preaching, the devil has a mission of amusement for men and women. And there are so many things and so many pulls for their attention that very often, in fact, it seems in the vast majority of time, that the balance falls in favour of staying in sin. And men and women are just, as it were, here in this passage, and they're saying, you know, it says there, and the whole multitude of the, all of them, round about, besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. Christ wasn't going to harm them, but they looked upon the pigs and they thought, well, we don't want religion, we want material things. We want the money. We don't want this. And they besought him to depart out of their coast. The tent will be down in just over a week. The opportunity of the mission will be gone forever. We need to pray that the Lord will really move through the preached word, and that men and women, even as they hear of others coming to the Lord, children indeed,
that they will not be like these people, but they will say, what that child has, I need to have. Notice something else there in closing, that sin's strength is displayed. Verse 37 again, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship. You see, there's one thing that makes the unconverted person fear, and that is thinking upon their sin. Thinking upon their sin. And these people, as they realized that this man had been delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ, they thought upon themselves. And their cry to him, as I said, was to get out. And the problem was here that sin had far more strength than the resolve of the people. It was a dominant force in their life. It had dominion over them. And it was sin that made them beseech the Lord Jesus Christ to leave them. So easy to not like the sinner. You and I need to have compassion for them. Men and women in McGarvey, maybe their very last mission opportunity. They may be nasty, some of them, when it comes to repentance. People saying things like, oh, I have my own commitments, can't come. Other people who, even speaking to me, have been so full of religion, haven't darkened the door yet. Why not? Because they don't have Christ. And sin reigns in their life. And you know, men and women, when we see the strength of sin displayed here, the Lord Jesus Christ did what they wanted. Look what it says. Verse 37, it says, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. I wonder what the Lord Jesus was thinking about as he left them. He was the ray of hope for them. They didn't deserve him to come that way. He came there and one man that we know of came to the Lord. But he did what the people wanted. They said, really, we will not have this man to rule over us or to reign over us. And they said to the Lord, would you get out? And he did that. And people over this next week will make decisions for themselves. They will obey the word of God and they will come to repentance. There are others who haven't come to the campaign yet and they will come. Or else they will stay at home. And while the tent mission, God willing, may go on for the rest of until next Sunday, the tent mission will be over then. And it may be said concerning the people of McGarvey, Jesus was passing this way. Jesus was passing this way. Thinking of the words, some of the words that Reverend Martin quoted the other night from Jeremiah, is nothing to you, all ye that pass by. So many know the tents there. A good number now know that the Lord is able to deliver. But there are so many people who are swayed by sin. And you and I, Christian, have a tremendous responsibility to pray that the Lord would break in and break through. And that while the light of the gospel is there, that many men and women would come to know him. I wonder, would you ask those people who you've spoken to and they haven't come yet, would you ask them again? Double your efforts to pray for your family members that they will come. Some of them said they're not coming. Pray that the Lord would bless the preached word night by night. And that ere the tent mission would end, that many would come to the Saviour. The opportunities come, but the opportunity will go. May it not be said of McGarvey, but they said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, get out of here, because we don't want you. I trust you'll pray to that end. Going to turn